Before we begin, we'll open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can come together to share in your word. We ask for blessings on this meeting, that those of us speaking would be scriptural, and that those here would not have their hearts hardened, and those who do not know the gift of salvation would hear your words and know the urgency of this message. We ask for blessings on this meeting in the most holy name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So tonight we'll be, my notes will work, we'll be reading in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 14. So we're reading in Luke chapter 14 and starting at verse 15. And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said upon him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they are with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, hear me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, and thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of these men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. So when we come into reading of this chapter, Jesus is sitting down with other men, and he's teaching them through some parables, some stories. Most of these people are all listening to Jesus, but not all of them are understanding what it is that he's saying to them. And where we started reading, one of these men, he speaks out and he said, Blessed is he that shall eat the bread of the kingdom of God. He says it with confidence. He says it even with a little bit of pride, maybe. He's assuming, like so many people do, that of course he'll be there in heaven. He pictures himself enjoying those blessings of heaven and sharing in that future joy. But in the very next line, Jesus, he doesn't commend him for it. He doesn't go, hey, you're right. Instead, he starts telling this parable that we just read here. And he says, A certain man made a great supper. This isn't just a dinner. This isn't just something thrown together. This is a feast, something carefully arranged and thoughtfully prepared for everybody. It's a display of generosity. It's a display of hospitality. This meal has no shortage, no lack. Everything is needed. The host has held back nothing. And in this story, whenever the time came, the master of the house, he sent out his servant. He said, Tell them, come, for all things are now ready. Such a simple phrase, and yet it kind of encapsulates the exact meaning of what the gospel message that we come up here to preach is about. We can break this sentence down some. It says, come. That's an open invitation. Many of you were probably asked to come here. For all things. In the gospel message, this is what we call the provision of God. And are now ready. That's the urgency behind this message that you are hearing. Salvation is, it's not a work that we have to begin. It's a work that's already been finished. Salvation isn't a puzzle. It's not a test. It's a gift. This gift is freely given, fully provided, and is no cost to you. The cost of this gift was paid by heaven, was paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus went to that cross and took upon himself the punishment that we all deserved. He on that cross, he cried, It is finished. There remains nothing for you, me, for any sinner to do other than this, than to respond to this message. The gospel isn't a demand that you bring anything. It's a free offer to give you everything. This feast in the parable we read, just like salvation, It required preparation. The cost of that preparation is beyond anything that you or I could even imagine. The blood of the Son of God, the suffering of the spotless one, that sinless one in Jesus Christ, he was the cost. Judgment fell upon him instead of us. That's what prepared this feast. That's why the invitation can say, all things are now ready, because Jesus left nothing undone. But what happens next in this parable? The guests were all invited, yet they refused. They didn't refuse it with anger. They didn't have any ill will. They just simply declined. They didn't reject the invite. They politely declined. It wasn't a priority to them. The first man said, he said, I just bought some land. I have to go see it. And the second one said, I just bought some oxen. I have to go prove them. And the third one said, I just got married, so I can't. None of these things are evil responses. They're good things, really, for the most part. Like, they're just normal life events. But the issue is that these good things became an excuse for them to ignore a great thing. And that's what can happen with us with the message of salvation. Excuses made are going to deny you the greatest thing that could happen in your life. That's the tragedy of this parable. That's the tragedy of many people who hear the gospel. You might not hate God. You might not dislike the Bible. But if you're not saved, you are putting off that gift that is salvation. People don't lose heaven because they're too wicked. People lose heaven because they're too distracted. They're too busy. They're too preoccupied. They're too focused on everyday life mundanity instead of the eternity waiting for them. In one of the other Gospels, John 5 and verse 40, it says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." That was the Lord Jesus speaking. He didn't say people couldn't come. He said they wouldn't come because salvation is a choice on your behalf, whether you accept it or not. And that's what makes this parable and what I'm speaking about in general so sad. The servant in the story, he didn't forget to invite those people. He went out and invited them. The message came to them. They heard it, and they were too occupied, and they never came. This is something that's far too familiar for people who come to hear the gospel. How many people have heard it and said, I'll do that later? Or you want to be saved, but not today. Like, how many people do you know, they believe in the Bible, but not enough to act on what it says? So many people know the message of what the gospel is, and yet they let the noise of just regular daily life push it out of their minds. I have work to do. I've got plans. I'm not ready. The truth is, though, the simple, plain truth, when you're saying not yet, you're saying no. Salvation is a choice. And just like this parable, the wrong choice means loss for you. So in the story now, what does the master do whenever the servant returns? He tells the servant, quick, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halted and the blind. He invited in all those people who have no status, people who never expected to be invited, people not even thinking about this feast or looking for it. And yet they're all brought in. They're all brought in because the feast is already ready. The table is fully set. Excuse me. And the heart of the host still burns with love. When we think about this in the terms of God, that's what God's grace is. The grace of God is undeserved, unearned, and unimaginable. The very people that society could forget about, the ones who don't think they belong, that's who he brought near. There might be people here tonight. If you think, I'm not good enough to be saved, or I've done too much wrong, you're so wrong. The Bible itself tells you this. In Luke 15 and verse 2, they're speaking about Jesus, and he says, this man receiveth sinners. And again in Luke 19 and verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus didn't come to save those who are righteous. He came to receive sinners. The invitation goes out to the poor and the broken and the undeserving. It goes out to everyone. We all fit into this category. There's nobody here even people here who are saved, who were not guilty of these. We've all sinned. And we all need the Savior. So the servant came running back after inviting all these people in. He says, it is done, and yet there is room. There's still room. That's the message of salvation too. There's still room. Room for one more, room for you, room for me, room for the doubter, the addict, the backslider, the sinner. There's room for all of us. The invitation currently has not expired. The table hasn't been emptied. And just as the Master Jesus has not revoked the invitation. So the Master in this story, he then said, go out and compel them to come that my house might be filled. It's not a half-hearted invitation. This is a passionate plea for you all. God desires that we all be saved. This is the grace, this is the love of God. God wants heaven to be filled. He wants you there, he wants me there, he wants everybody here to be there. He wants to fill heaven with those who were once lost souls who've been brought home. The gospel message that you come to hear, it's not just a story to be heard, a story to be admired. It's a call to be answered. Just like this story says, come, for all things are now ready. You can't ignore it. You just can't excuse it. This parable that we read, it ends off in verse 24. It says, for I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Those first men that were asked, they made excuses and they missed it. They didn't miss it because they weren't invited. They missed it because they delayed. They made excuses and they turned away. The invitation of salvation is a door that is open tonight. This door won't be open forever. These men made excuses, and we never hear of them again. Don't let that be your story. Don't brush off another night waiting for eternity. You can't gamble with your soul about tomorrow. A verse we quote in this hall very often is 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The messages you hear up here aren't about pressuring you or guilting you. They're about the mercy and grace of God. You've been invited here, or you came on your own, because that is God's love trying to bring you in. Christ died for you, and the Spirit of God pleads with you. You can't walk away. You can't continue to delay. There might be some who are thinking, like, I want to be saved, and I don't know how. And I'll tell you for myself, from sitting there, it's easier than I thought it was at the time. All you have to do is just look into the quietness of yourself. You have to admit that need. Admit that you're the sinner. You acknowledge your sin. You can't trust in yourself. You can't trust in what you've done. You can't trust your own intentions. You have to put all your trust in Jesus Christ. He paid the price so that we could be free. Our daily lives, we make plans and we schedule things, but tomorrow belongs to God. All that we have ourselves is what we have right now. To be saved, you don't need to clean yourself up. You don't need to solve every question. You don't need to be good enough, because I'll tell you, none of us are. You need to simply come. And I'll tell you, anybody, if you were saved tonight, beyond the joy that's just in your heart, there's joy in heaven. And the Bible tells us that itself. It says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. One. You matter as much to God as anybody else does. You matter enough to God that he sent his only son to earth. You matter enough that he speaks to you through his word that is the Bible. He's prepared the feast and he has sent the invitation. The road of excuses leads somewheres. The road of excuses leads to loss and regret and eternity without Christ. But the road of faith, the road of the believer, of response, it leads home to heaven. That's what this whole chart behind me is about. Heaven isn't just a vague idea or a concept or a dream. Heaven is being in the presence of God. It's a place of glory, a home of peace. It's a place of no more sorrows and no more tears and no more pain for all of eternity. But there is the other option. There's only one other option, and it doesn't lead to peace. The other option leads to hell and the lake of fire. I don't bring up hell to try and use it as a scare tactic. It's just the reality of where the path goes. Hell is a complete separation from God. It's a place of regret and finality. It's a place where that invitation was once heard and not answered. And it also goes on for eternity. Don't stand at the edge of eternity and realize that it's too late for you. All we ever do when we come up here is to proclaim God's message to you and ask that you please come. Come not because you're worthy, but because you were invited. Come not because you're ready, but because Christ was. Come not because of what you did, but what Christ did for you. You come to salvation with your sin, and you'll find forgiveness. Come with your questions and find truth, and come with your fear and find peace. The table is set, the feast is still waiting, and the door is still open. But one day it will close. Come, for all things are now ready.